You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
To a Thursday, hour one. Come on in, stay a while. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Chris Berman will join us a little bit later on in the program. Ian Eagle, the versatile broadcaster. He does the Nets games. He was on the call last night as the Nets and the Cavaliers went into double overtime with the Cavs winning it. Also, Chris Mannix will recap that game coming up in a little bit as well. Your phone calls are always welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, @DPShow. Say good morning. Good morning to Peacock, our TV partners and our great radio affiliates numbering almost 400 cities in America. Although everything seems to be pointing in a positive direction for Patrick Mahomes to be playing this weekend, to be cleared from concussion protocol, until it's 100%, there's still uncertainty there. You know, you're a gambler and you're looking at this going, is he playing? How much will he play? Could he be hampered when he plays? Because we've seen a wide swing in what the point differential would be as far as if he does play, then Kansas City would be probably a 3.5-point favorite. If he doesn't, there were reports yesterday that Buffalo could be a 7-point favorite. There will be a lot of money placed on the game. There's always a lot of money wagered on these playoff games. But right now, the Chiefs at 3.5, 3. You jump on Kansas City, you hope Mahomes is back, and maybe the line goes up to 4 or 5. Or you take the points now, because if he's out, the Bills could suddenly be the favorites. And now you get why the NFL has always made such a big deal about transparency when it comes to health issues. The surprising part of this was, and I was told by an NFL person yesterday, works closely with the NFL Players Association, and said that he was told that it's not a concussion, that this is, you know, this was a nerve situation. And he said, it's not nerve damage, it was a nerve situation. And I said, okay. But he goes through the concussion protocol, and this person said, yes, you have to go through the concussion protocol. If you're diagnosed, that's what they think it is initially. Now you have to go through the protocol. But then Andy Reid came out and talked about some other part of Patrick Mahomes' body. He had this to say about Patrick Mahomes won't play if he can't run.
It's hard to stop somebody from using their legs and running when they choose to run. So if he can't do that, he's probably not going to be able to, he's probably not passed the protocol to be able to do that. So, you know, you don't want to put him out there if he can't move.
Well, he's already got an injured toe, and this has sort of been downplayed here. But I'm assuming most people, if they can't run, probably won't play. But I don't know if there's toe protocol in the NFL, but Andy's toe to call, I guess we would call that. But I don't know what Andy's saying there. Wait, let me play it again, because I thought it was concussion protocol. Here it is.
It's hard to stop somebody from using their legs and running when they choose to run. So if he can't do that, he's probably not going to be able to, he's probably not passed the protocol to be able to do that. So, you know, you don't want to put him out there he can't move.
Okay.
So when a player can't move, you don't want to put him in the game.
But then
that's fair.
But he's got to pass concussion protocol for his toe. I'm confused here. Yes, McLovin.
You know how, like, when you like someone and they have a boyfriend and you intentionally forget that boyfriend's name or call him something different? That's what Andy Reid was doing in the protocol. He knows what protocol means, and he intentionally misused that to denigrate the because he knew that's not protocol, right? He was doing that to be flippant.
Well, he also said this about Mahomes in concussion protocol.
He's in the protocol, so there's only certain things he can do and limited basis, but today is a little bit limited practice, so this fit right into what he could do. But he took all the snaps and he feels good. So I mean, we're just gonna follow this protocol.
Gotta follow that protocol. By the way, after a player has progressed through the 5-step process and is cleared for full participation by the club physician, he must be seen and separately cleared by an independent neurological consultant jointly approved by the NFL and the NFL Players Association, who is not affiliated with any NFL club. Yes, Paulie?
So that means the Chiefs would have to find a head doctor who's not from the area, because if he's from the area, he's probably a Chiefs fan. You got to go, you know, like to Chicago and fly somebody.
Maybe get somebody from Buffalo,
right,
that you bring in if he can pass that concussion protocol and have a bad toe. Yeah,
you know, the phrase "the protocol" has really seeped into popular culture and normal culture. Last year, I was skiing and this dude fell down. And he like bonked his head and he was all silly. And everyone starts joking, dude, he's in the protocol. He's in the protocol. Like my kid falls down, I joke about it.
All right, we'll come up with a poll question here. This program is brought to you by Built Bar, simply amazing tasting protein bars. We love all 18 amazing flavors. New shipment is on the way, from what I'm told. Mint brownie, coconut almond, pumpkin chocolate chip cookie. And you'll believe me when you taste it. Go to BuiltBar.com, enter the promo code DP for 20% off. Also, we're guilty of wishful reporting. You know, I hope that Patrick Mahomes plays. We want to see Kansas City at their best. I hope he's healthy when he plays. But when it comes to wishful reporting, Carson Wentz, well, there's wishful reporting that, well, he could end up with the Colts. We've been saying this for months now. Oh, he could be reunited with Frank Reich. Like, if he stays with Philadelphia, that's not as good a story. We like movement here. And now you have Deshaun Watson. Step right up. And now you are the focal point of wishful reporting. We want him to leave the Texans. Staying's not interesting. I mean, there might be drama behind the scenes, but wishful reporting. We in the media, yours truly, we're guilty of wishful reporting. That's how these stories take off, where you go, wait a minute, is this a story or not? Well, we're going to make it. Deshaun Watson started it. But we're making it a whole lot bigger than what it is right now. I don't know the financial hurdles, obstacles, the feasibility of being able to do this, the draft hurdles. I don't know that. But that hasn't bothered anybody in the media. We're like, how about the odds? He could go to the Jets. He was wearing a Falcons jersey. He could go there. What about the Dolphins? Like, we want this to happen because it gives us content. And that's why we're going to have Andrew Brandt on. He's a former executive for the Packers. And, you know, he's probably going to be a buzzkill because he might tell you that Deshaun Watson and Carson Wentz cannot be traded because of the financial aspect of this. Now, we don't like hearing that, but I just want to separate fact from fiction. We try to do that on a daily basis, and sometimes we do it, sometimes we don't. But this is wishful reporting, absolutely, positively, because now I can get the fan bases involved in this. The Jets, well, the Jets are going to talk about Deshaun Watson, their fan base. They want to talk about Deshaun Watson. How about the Dolphins? Would you give up Tua Tagovailoa? Throw in, hey, San Francisco. I don't know if San Francisco could pull this off. I don't know if they have the draft capital. How about Denver? Oh, yeah. Well, they're not sold on Drew Luck. It's not that easy. We're just throwing 10 teams out there. Now, facts, you can't have facts get in the way of this. You can't have reality get in the way of this. This is wishful thinking. Like, you're a Bears fan. We're going to get another shot at Deshaun Watson.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. You know, we got, you know, Nick Foles we're still paying, but that's okay.
What is dead cap space? I don't even know what it means.
We don't even know. Sounds like a Stephen King novel. Dead cap space, ooh. Stephen King. Yeah, this whole wishful reporting with Deshaun Watson. And, you know, could he end up here? Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'd love to see him if he ended up with the Jets. What did the Jets give up? Miami. Yeah, sure. Atlanta, come on down. I'm good with all of it. I just don't know what the actual truth is or the possibility of this happening here. They're long odds, it feels like, for me. You know, the Texans are going to try to repair the damage if they can possibly do that. You've noticed they haven't made a hire yet. And I followed up with a source yesterday. The source who told me originally a couple of weeks ago, he thought that the offensive coordinator,
Bieniemy?
Yeah, Eric Bieniemy was might get frozen out and not get a job. And then we have filled every spot but two. And I don't think he's up for the Philadelphia job, but the Texans job, he's still in the mix. And I don't know if they're waiting. They have to wait until after the conference title games if they make an announcement on anything. But I was told that that's still the only possibility would be if Eric Bieniemy goes to the Texans. So, you know, we have a lot of moving parts in here, but I don't think Deshaun Watson is going to be traded anytime soon. But if he is, we have the possibilities of the Jets, Miami, Atlanta. And this is what I would always wonder. How bad does somebody want what I have? And then it makes me go, do I want to give it up if you really want it? Because we've all, you know, you try to sell a house and then sometimes somebody will lowball you. And then all of a sudden somebody goes, yeah, I'll pay you. I'll pay you what you're asking. You will? And then somebody comes in on top of that. And then you go, damn it. You know, we should have listed it for more. You know, maybe we should hold on. Franchises search for decades to have a franchise quarterback. Here's Houston. Houston has a young quarterback who's a top seven quarterback, under contract, by all accounts, healthy, except his attitude towards the Texans. That's what you want. You got it. And you somehow screwed it up. But if I'm one of these other teams and you say, okay, what are you giving up? Is 4 first-round draft picks, is that enough for Deshaun Watson? If I'm Miami and I get Deshaun Watson, and I've already got a good nucleus here, without using those draft picks, I get Deshaun Watson, is he that much of an upgrade over Tua? If they believe that, grab your guy and then get ready to roll. I mean, that would be my approach here. If I'm the Atlanta Falcons, you know, sort of a faceless franchise, you know, if Julio Jones is gone and Matt Ryan's gone and then you get him in there, he gets to come back to his hometown. If I'm the Jets have been searching for how long? Since Joe Namath, the franchise quarterback. Hey, it's going to take you 3 first-round picks this year. By the way, if I'm the Texans, don't trade with anybody who is going to be out of the top 10. Like, I don't want to make this trade with somebody who's actually got a good team, because I'm getting your draft picks. I want to make sure I'm getting crappy draft picks here. I mean, the Dolphins might be too good. They're a playoff caliber team. I can bank on the Jets being bad for a little while longer. And history is on my side here, but if I'm the Texans, okay, I got 4 first-round draft picks. Where are those draft picks? Because, you know, I look at like the Steelers. If the Steelers say, hey, we're going to give you our first-round pick for Sam Darnold. Okay, late 20s? That's not bad. I'm okay with that. I want top 5, top dollar for Deshaun Watson. And I don't know how many teams are able to do that. You know, you have to have a formula here. Boy, he would be dangerous in San Francisco. Yeah, he would. Yeah. I mean, L. McPherson would look good on my arm too, but it ain't happening. But you go, boy, he'd be really dangerous in San Francisco. We never think about, okay, what does the team have to give up?
That's a deep cut by the L. McPherson. That's old school.
I know.
Ain't happening again.
Yep. Imagine losing a girl. Not that I lost her, but imagine losing somebody to somebody who worked for a magazine named L. That's a long story. On a slow, slow day, I'll tell you the L. McPherson story. Went to the 21 Club, New York. I thought I was in. And next thing I know, I find out that she is dating Billy Joel and then Kevin Costner. And then she, all of a sudden, she moves in with a photographer who worked for Elle magazine. Other than that, I think I had a pretty good shot. Yeah, Paulie?
To be fair to you, that's a tough lineup. Peak Kevin Costner, no offense, and peak Billy Joel in mid-80s. Because Billy Joel had just, was that pre-Christie Brinkley or post-Christie Brinkley?
I think he was dating both at the same time.
See, that made him scaldingly hot for no reason. Billy Joel, most over his skis, but if you could sing and play an instrument, you could pull it off.
And this is when Al was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and we celebrated. Everybody went to the 21 Club, got to do this sit-down interview with her, had chatted it up. Julie Campbell, who ran the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition department, I thought, you know, she was my wingman here. And next thing I know, it's like, wait, Elle's
Uptown girl.
Yeah, it's been clever.
Nobody does better than photographers, though. Even
I know.
Those guys, and you've...
Pretty good.
Like, what's his name? I hate to throw out names. Walter Eos Jr. was a legend.
Walter Yaus.
Yeah, Walter Yaus.
Yost.
Yeah.
Eos or whatever.
Why is that models love photographers so much? It's like...
It's so intimate that they're there, and if they're half naked... I mean, imagine being on a photo shoot in some remote area... And Elle McPherson is there scantily clad.
You might be the only guy for a couple hundred miles.
Yes. And all I have to do is say, ooh, I like that. Oh, look at me. They say, oh, yes. Ah, yes. Talk to me. Talk to my camera. Yes, Seton.
And then at the end of it, you turn around the camera and say, look how beautiful I just made you.
Yeah, you play off their insecurities a little bit.
Look at these pictures I made of you.
Mm-hmm.
They're great, and they're going to be on the cover of magazines all over the world.
Yeah. They're wearing scarves in warm weather. Those guys, they're awful.
But this photographer who worked for Elle Magazine, I mean, come on. I didn't see it coming. But I feel like that I was not even in the on-deck circle. I wasn't even in the starting lineup. But in my mind, I thought I was. And then I thought, okay. And I didn't know that Billy Joel and Kevin Costner were probably already at third base. And the photographer was coming up to the plate. I don't know how I got on this topic. I think it had to do with Deshaun Watson going to the 49ers.
In this scenario, Deshaun Watson is Elle McPherson.
Elle McPherson.
That's fair.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
That photographer can't explain the West Coast offense.
No, he can't. No, he can't. Yes, McLovin. When's the last time that photographer broke a story, by the way? Yes, McLovin.
And, Elle McPherson, now you're bringing back all these swimsuit stories. Remember when you told us...
You've got to be careful now.
No, what was the code word? We talked about it a lot when you went to that Sports Illustrated shoot with Brooklyn.
Oh, pepperoni.
Pepperoni, right.
When your nipple comes out of your bathing suit.
I got to be honest, because I've been around... It is literally the most unsexy thing ever to see a Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
I'd like to find out.
Yeah. It's so technical. It's like...
I don't know. I was on that swimsuit shoot with Brooklyn Decker.
Oh, well, maybe I've been around the wrong ones.
I hadn't been around him, but I will say it seemed like it was a good job to have. Let's put it that way.
I was around Todd's swimsuit shoot for
the
calendar.
Same thing.
That was very technical.
You know what was weird, though, is I went to see one of the locations with Brooklyn. Man, did we get off on a sidetrack here. Brooklyn Decker. And who is, you know, since married to Andy Roddick, and she's a lovely woman and a mother. But they would have this thing where they would put it around the model and then lift it up. And then you would get undressed.
Like the medical tent on the sideline of an NFL game?
Well, I don't know if it's like that. It's a circular.
But to cover someone up in a place where there's lots of people.
Yeah, it's a circular thing that they... so the model steps into this... You know, cylinder, circular thing, and then they lift up the sides, and then they get undressed. And then, you know, you're walking there on the beach, and all of a sudden, you know, there's things going on where you go, I don't think I'm, Todd, I've never seen you this interested, but I'm going to have.
Oh, what's happening?
That's what the circle thing is like, just like over Todd. That's what they would have, this thing that they would, you know, pull up, and you'd get undressed there. Hey, Todd.
This is a great segment, and now you're like totally covering me up here.
Well, no, I'm trying to give the audience an understanding of what it's like, the cylinder itself. Then you would take off your clothes.
I thought you were squashing my enthusiasm.
Oh, no.
The segment.
No, I could tell you were all in on, what did you want to say?
Me?
Yeah.
I didn't want to say anything. If I say something, the FCC is going to come get me. I just wanted to know what I wasn't ready for that cylinder to come down on me.
Okay. Thank you, Todd. Let's see. McLovin, you have a poll question?
We do. We have some Deshaun Watson poll questions. Once we get back on track, because we're all thinking about non-sports topics right now.
But, you know, the other woman was Paulina Porizkova.
With Rick Ocasek?
Yeah.
End up with a car singer?
Yes. Oh, no, I didn't. I only interviewed her. I never had any conversation with her. I just, remember the cover girl woman, we always got the first interview at CNN. And that's when I met Elle. And then I also interviewed Paulina Porizkova. Yes, McLean.
I could tell you a quick nightmare story about Sports Illustrated. There was a lowly associate producer who got engaged one day, found out 2 days later that one of the swimsuit models had a crush on him. Is that a terrible nightmare? Yeah, I've told Paulie this story before. We know the guy. And believe me, he's not the kind of guy who'd normally draw a swimsuit model. But isn't that like the fear? Like, I can't get engaged because what if someday a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model wants to date me?
You don't want to be dating a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model.
Oh, come on. If you're 25.
Well, okay. Do I want to break off an engagement for that? No.
Which model?
Yeah, you got to specify the model. I mean, there's lots of people get engaged.
Let's take a break here.
I mean, like Kathy Ireland in the late 80s, you end lots of marriages for her.
Yeah, she's beautiful. But no, I wouldn't. If I was engaged and Kathy Ireland came up to me and said hi and, you know, what are you doing the rest of your life? Like, I would probably say, I'm engaged.
You're a strong man.
Yes.
Rachel Hunter?
I would say it. I don't know if I would be convincing. I'd be like, I'm sort of getting engaged.
We'd all leave mid-segment. If they walked by right now and in the parking lot, we'd leave in dead air.
There was some magic with you and Nina Agdal. She was in the New York studio. There was some moments there.
No, you can't
she
be
got lost in the blue eyes for a moment there.
Don't.
I'm just saying. I saw what I saw.
Todd, you're narking me out.
It was a fleeting moment.
Although I will say that there was the mom of an athlete who definitely had something for me. But Paul, you're going to...
I'm cutting you off. I'm cutting you off here.
Because we all kind of came away and went, what just happened
Let
there?
Let me protect you.
All righty. Take a break here. Take a break. That's Chris Mannix will join us. We'll recap what happened with the Cavs and the Nets last night. What the hell just happened here? 22 after the hour. Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show. But I got this energy, and I'm younger, and you know I think that's what these supermodels are attracted to. They go, wow, he doesn't seem as old as he is. He doesn't act as old as he is. I'm eating right. I'm in great shape, and I can thank M-Drive, the supplement I take every single day. That's the secret ingredient. You know?
And charisma, enthusiasm, and good looks, all that stuff.
Thank you, Todd. Everyday supplement for driven guys helps me stay energized, lean, strong, and apparently attractive to supermodels. Over 10 years ago, M-Drive, created by an elite scientist, made it for himself, and he wanted to fight back against aging. It had nothing to do with a supermodel. He refused to let age beat him. So if you wake up, you're tired, you're gaining weight, losing drive, fight back. Try M-Drive for yourself, everyday supplement for driven men. Energy, strength, drive. Go to mdrivedan.com today. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Go to mdrivedan.com. Refind your prime with M-Drive. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com. Or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. There's a new mayor on NBC Comedy Thursdays, Ted Danson, along with Holly Hunter, Bobby Moynihan star, and Mr. Mayor, tonight at 8, 7 Central on NBC, streaming next day on Peacock. Cavaliers, double overtime over the Nets last night. Colin Sexton was the star of this one. Kind of reminded people of a young Kyrie Irving. Kyrie's first game back, and he had this to say about his re-debut.
The two OTs for the first game back. Man. You know, we definitely tried to come out and compete. I myself was just doing my best out there to pace myself, you know, and just I know that, you know, it's going to take me a little minute to just get up and down a few more times. But, you know, I'm excited.
We love to overreact, and of course, we're probably overreacting, but we shouldn't be. It's a game in January. Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated senior NBA writer. If you didn't see the game last night, Chris, how would you describe it and the importance of it?
I would describe it as revealing, at least in terms of what the Nets need to work on moving forward. I'm not at all concerned about the ability of you know, Kyrie, James Harden, Kevin Durant to put up points. I mean, they scored 96 in that game. I think they scored like 42 of the last 57 points for Brooklyn in that game. They'll find a way to make it work offensively. But there were a couple of things that really stood out. One, the Nets don't defend anybody. And this has been, you know, going on for most of the season. Cleveland came into that game with the 30th ranked offense. Like, they stunk. and they were without Darius Garland, they were without Kevin Love, and they still put 147 on Brooklyn in double overtime. That needs to be addressed. They don't have a defensive stopper on the perimeter. DeAndre Jordan's best years as a rim protector are probably behind him. They don't have anybody off the bench that provides that type of presence. And they don't really trust anybody on that bench. I mean, Steve Nash, I guess, nominally played a nine-man rotation, but, you know, Joe Harris played 42 minutes off the bench. Nobody else played more than 12. Meanwhile, Kevin Durant, who is not that far removed from an AC or an Achilles tear, played 50 minutes. You know, James Harden, in his third game with the Nets, played 50, his third straight with 40-plus. Kyrie Irving, off for 2 weeks, goes for 45. You know, Steve Nash either needs to start trusting the guys on his bench, or Sean Marks has to go out there and find a way to get him guys if he does.
Yeah, I think you're going to have scoring, and then defense is going to be optional. And I think you have to have a concept for defense, and then you have to have a willingness to want to play defense as well. It feels like Kevin Durant is the one guy who can play defense or will play defense, but trying to add to your roster at this point in the season or later in the season, what's the feasibility of that, Chris?
Not much at this point during the season. I mean, you can scour the G League when they get started in early February to see if anybody kind of fits that mold. Their trade options are extremely limited because of what they gave up in the James Harden deal. What they have to be hoping for is that the buyout market yields a player that fits what they're looking for. I mean, every year there seems to be two or three guys that hit that market that can make an impact on a contending team. The difference this year, though, Dan, is that the expansion of the play-in tournament is going to make a lot more teams feel like they're in contention. So if you're a team that's sitting there at 11th or 12th, but you're only a couple of games back from 9th or 10th, you're going to think, all right, maybe I will buy this guy out because we have a chance to get into the postseason. That could depress the buyout market, and if that happens, that's not good news for the Nets.
Yeah, that's an interesting take. I hadn't thought of that. But if I'm the Lakers, if I'm the Sixers, if I'm the Bucks or the Heat, like how concerned do you think these teams should be and are with what's going on in Brooklyn?
You know, concerned might be too strong a word. You're certainly watching every game they play to see if their defense becomes, you know, passable enough to catch up with their offense. And they don't have to be a top 10 defensive team. They just need to be probably top 15, top half of the NBA to be a championship contender. So I'd be watching them because, you know, look, the playoffs comes down to guys that can get you buckets. And the Nets now have three guys that individually can get you buckets. And that's an incredibly valuable part of this. But, you know, another sidelight here, Dan, is to make big threes work, you've got to have sacrifice. Kyrie even alluded to this, you know, last night in his media interview after the game. You've got to have guys willing to sacrifice. And somebody in that group is going to have to really sacrifice in the way that Chris Bosh did and Kevin Love did in their time as members of Big Three. Kyrie would seem to be the guy that would need to do that. But I'm struck by this about Kyrie. I mean, Kyrie, you know, he's a quirky guy. Like, you should, if you're Kyrie Irving, you should be excited about the possibility of playing with James Harden and Kevin Durant. And maybe he is. He's saying all the right things right now. But you have to remember, Kyrie was part of a championship team in Cleveland, and he forced his way out with 2 years left in his contract. Yeah. He was part of a really good team in Boston. He said he was going to come back, and then he said, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. He wanted to control his own destiny badly in the summer of 2019, and he did that. He signed with Brooklyn, his hometown team, in a way. He signed to play with Kevin Durant, his best friend in the league. He picked his situation for the first time in his career, and now he's back in a similar place where he's having kind of his career dictated to him by the addition of James Harden. That to me bears watching, Dan, how Kyrie reacts to once again being in a situation that was not of his choosing.
Did we learn anything from his press conference?
Just that whatever is going on in his life is still wearing on him. I mean, I'm not, I don't like to wade too deep into the psyche of Kyrie Irving and what, you know, what really impacts him and what doesn't, but you can't watch that press conference and think that everything in Kyrie's world is okay. I mean, he was asked if he was okay. He just basically nodded in the affirmative. I don't know how it manifests itself, is if he's able to push past it to play basketball at a high level, but it's pretty clear that what pushed Kyrie away from the game in early January is still lingering with him now.
What do you think of the Lakers so far?
You're almost waiting for any kind of bump along the way. I mean, maybe they get it on this road trip. They start a 7-game road trip tonight against Milwaukee. That'll be a fun matchup. I kind of think in this game, Dan, LeBron and Anthony Davis go right at Giannis. I mean, LeBron, as you know, like still, you know, remembers every slight against him and is still, I think, bristling a little bit from not getting as many MVP votes as he should have had. And Anthony Davis thought he was Defensive Player of the Year last year and not Giannis. So I think they're going to go at Giannis pretty good in this game tonight. But the Lakers just is, look, they haven't been had their season interrupted by COVID. The guys they brought in have pretty much worked from Dennis Schroeder on down. And LeBron is playing at an MVP level while I think playing the fewest minutes per game in his career. So it's just they're not really a story because nothing has slowed their ascent. They're picking up exactly where they left off last season.
Quiet is good in Lakerland. Yep. As we found out with Frank Vogel, quiet is good. It leads to championships. Chris, thanks as always for joining us. We appreciate your time, bud.
You got it, Jeff.
That's Chris Mannix. He covers the NBA for Sports Illustrated, senior writer. I was wondering about James Harden, and I was wondering how this is a new James Harden. Now, you can say, is it a new and improved James Harden? Let me give you some numbers here, because Harden has looked different than a year ago, really from his past. So this year, if you look at what he's doing, his scoring is down 8.5 points per game. Now, still almost 26 points per game. He's taking 17.5 field goal attempts per game. That's his lowest figure since 2013. Just under 8 free throw attempts per game. That's his lowest since 2011. That was his last year in Oklahoma City when he was coming off the bench. He's averaging double figure assists for only the second time in his career. Harden played all 10 minutes of overtime last night, but he took only 3 shots from the field and 2 free throws. He is trying, it feels like, to ingratiate himself to the offense in a different way. And that is, I have to be the point guard here. I don't think Kyrie's capable or willing to do that. But with James Harden, I think he knows that this is the role that I have to play here. By the way, their next game against the pesky Cleveland Cavaliers. Yes, Paulie.
Harden is averaging 29 points and 13 assists in his first 3 games with the Nets, but he's averaging 19 shots, which for him is on the lower end because the past few years, going back a few years, 20, 24, 22 shots a game when he's at his peak of scoring.
And you couldn't help but watch Colin Sexton last night, or if you saw the highlights, that's a young Kyrie Irving. And I remember when Sexton was coming out of Alabama, he had this crazy competitive nature and so much energy. Like, if you watched him play, I didn't think Alabama was any good, but you couldn't take your eyes off of him because he was just so full of energy. He's not a great shooter, but he's a confident shooter. Like, there's a difference in that. They're just guys who aren't afraid to take those shots. Well, sometimes you don't want them to take those shots. But Sexton is not what I would consider an elite shooter, but he is a confident shooter. And confidence, when you get to that level, I mean, that sometimes can separate you. You're not afraid to take the shot, the big shot. And he's certainly not afraid, and you saw that last night. I mean, when you're scoring 20 consecutive points at one point, and you don't have Kevin Love in there, you don't have Garland in there, and that's a makeshift Cleveland lineup, and they ended up picking up the win. I thought it said more about Cleveland than it did about the Nets. Like, I sort of figure what the Nets are going to be. It's going to be like a beautiful mess where you're just going to go, all right, that's the Nets, or playing at an extremely high level, or there'll be games when, nobody plays well, shoots well. Cleveland, I give Cleveland a lot of credit because you don't have two of your better players and makeshift lineup against the Nets, that was impressive. And Sexton was taking it right to him. He wasn't afraid. And it reminded me of a young Kyrie Irving. Take a break. Play of the day up next, and we'll settle on a poll question as well. And at the top of the hour, I might be a buzzkill. I might be a buzzkill. The guest we'll have on will probably tell you Deshaun Watson and Carson Wentz can't be traded or won't be traded. Have that for you coming up. And Chris Berman's going to stop by as well here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play, play of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
His second shot is no good. Rebounded by Anthony. 2 seconds left. Anthony for the win.
Got it! Rolls it!
Cole Anthony gives the Magic a victory. Improbable. Unbelievable. In Minneapolis.
It's the Mavs rookie, Cole Anthony. He went 3 for 3 from three-point range. He came in shooting 22% from three-point range. Third lowest in the league amongst players with at least 40 attempts. That's courtesy of FM 96.9, the Game Magic Radio Network. Play of the day brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, that sprinter van that you could win. Fox Sports Radio's ultimate tailgate rig sweepstakes. To enter, get official rules. Visit foxsportsradio.com or danpatrick.com by January 24th. Mercedes-Benz vans. Poll question, McLovin.
If you were Deshaun Watson, what's the first team you would waive your no-trade clause for? And I constricted it to top 12 picks because, as you said, if you're lower in the draft, then Houston would not do it. So the choices were the Falcons, the Panthers, the Jets, the Broncos, the Lions, the Dolphins, and the winner of it is the 49ers, who sit at number 12 in the draft.
If sent, well, then what do you do with Jimmy? You know what? I hate getting into these scenarios, these what-ifs.
You have to, maybe they like Jimmy Garoppolo?
How about I wait till the top of the hour when Andrew Brandt comes on, former NFL executive, and I just want to ask him what's the possibility of any of this happening? Because we can get into the wishful reporting, the hypotheticals, but he might go, it's just not feasible to make this happen financially. The number of draft picks. What is a finished product or close to a finished product for a franchise quarterback worth? We've seen what Jared Goff was worth or Carson Wentz was worth, where you trade up to get them. This is Deshaun Watson, who statistically this year for a 4-win team had one of the great seasons in recent memory for any quarterback. And completed 70% of his passes. He had a great season for a team that won 4 games and a team that's not getting better anytime soon. Because I don't think J.J. Watt is there next year. And then who are your skill position guys? You didn't get to pick who your coach is unless you get Eric Bieniemy. And by the way, if you get Eric Bieniemy, is everything back to normal? Because that's also something that we're in the wishful reporting business. If Eric Bieniemy gets hired, then this all goes away, it feels like. That Deshaun Watson will get his wish. He's got Eric Bieniemy. He may not like the GM. You're not going to come in contact with the GM. But Eric Bieniemy is going to be there every single day. And that might be the only way that you're able to rectify this. Yeah, Paulie?
I've been thinking about this. If you're Eric Bieniemy and his agent, do you reach out behind the scenes to Deshaun Watson and his agent and say, I want to be the coach of the Texans. I want to be your head coach. If you would like to lobby for me, I'd like to work with you. Because if you're Bieniemy, wouldn't you consider trying something like that?
Well, Eric Bieniemy, this might be his only chance to be a head coach this year. Whatever it takes, if you could reach out or have an intermediary reach out to Deshaun Watson and his agent, that's why when if somebody says, oh, did you talk to Deshaun Watson? You want to be able to say, no, I did not. But somebody else did. And then if you can say, hey, if I get this job, do you want to stay? I want this job if you're going to be there. And if you're not going to be there, I don't want this job. Maybe then you get Deshaun Watson who says, all right, I'll sit down with the front office and I'm going to tell you this. I'll stay if we do this. That's it. And then if they say, well, that he's not the right guy for us, or that's not who the new GM wants to hire, or that's not who the head, the owner wants to hire. Okay. If that's the case, then Deshaun Watson knows exactly where he stands in the organization. Eric Bieniemy is going to know where he stands as well, because he's only got this opening. And remember when we said at the beginning, and I thought this too until I, you know, had a source reach out to me. I said, he's going to have 6 or 7 opportunities to choose from. And it didn't work out that way. Unless something else comes out, I know that there was talk behind the scenes, you know, did Eric Bieniemy interview well? I don't know that. And that could be a way of just saying that we don't want to hire him. He didn't interview well. You may have other reasons. It may be in his past when he was younger and, you know, incidents that he was involved in. I don't know if that would keep him from being a head coach. Yes, McLovin.
It's hard to imagine that he didn't interview well because he interviews with the media very well. He's very, you know, he's really just an engaging guy. Like, a lot of media members like to interview him because he's a good quote.
And I don't know if that's a convenient excuse. Now, you just didn't interview well. Okay. I don't know. Like, how many times do you hear that? He may not interview well. Does he coach well? That's what my first question would be. How do you think he coaches? Oh, well, Andy Reid's the one doing the play calling. But he had other assistants who got head coaching jobs. That didn't seem to hamper them. I got that. I don't know. It just feels like maybe they're coming up with excuses here. Yeah, McLevin.
I mean, the real reason we want to put that, which city would you choose, is so we can discuss when we win the lottery where we're going to buy our second homes. Because he's got Miami on here, San Francisco, New York. Those are some good choices for Deshaun.
Well, we had a little bit of an integrity issue yesterday. The rule was money up front for the lottery, the Mega Millions, Powerball. We have 14 people in the building, and 7 put up money. If we had won, I was gonna have to come in here and say to some of these guys who didn't pony up the $5, sorry.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. If you didn't put in your money, then you don't. I can't give. Would you guys have wanted to share that amount of money with 14?
Wanted to.
Willing to? Thought you needed to? For morale purposes? I would have given him $1 million, maybe. Seton?
Yeah, I think if you don't put in the money, you don't get an even split. But, you know, maybe you get like $2 million. Everybody comes out of this a millionaire, but, you know, you're not getting 50. But you'd take the 2 because you didn't put in the $5. That's fair.
Did everybody on the other side put in their $5?
I did not.
Yeah, Paul.
I offered to put in Fritzy's $5 if he would wash his car, and he said no.
Yeah, I couldn't give Todd, like, he wouldn't be splitting it equal with everybody else.
And $2.38 on me yesterday.
You could have bought half a ticket. You would have gotten half a share.
Half a ticket.
Yeah. All right. 1 hour in the books, 2 more to go here on the Dan Patrick Show. Close out first hour with our friends from Rocket Mortgage. They had the Super Bowl Squares sweepstakes. It's back. And what could you do with $50,000? This year, you could find out because Rocket Mortgage is hosting the largest official game of Super Bowl Squares ever with millions of dollars in prizes. Enter for free with a chance to win $50,000 every score change. Plus, 2 lucky players will win $500,000 that they could use towards their dream home. Touchdowns, field goals, extra points, every scoring play pays. Rocket Mortgage will be announcing winners live on their channels during the game. Follow along on February 7th to see if you're a winner. It's free to enter, easy to play. See rules, enter now at rocketmortgagesquares.com. That's rocketmortgagesquares.com. No purchase necessary. Legal residents of the 50 U.S. states and D.C. who are the age of majority. This will end on February 4th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern. Equal housing lender. License all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.